Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Oh, we're live here on the Sports City Chefs Network. It's the Callers Cookout, good versus evil, where good always wins. But hey, every good villain and a hero got to work together to make it work, right? Every good hero needs a villain, and I'm the best villain in the world. And I got the best hero in the world, too. Call number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 59 minutes here on the Sports City Chefs Network. I got my main man, 50 grand in the building, the hero with the most, TP Timeless. TP, what's going on, baby?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive. Welcome to everybody that's here on a Wednesday evening, getting ready to pop off for at least a Thursday night tomorrow and the weekend that's ahead of us. Oh, yes, September is coming to the close. They call it the autumn, or they call it Indian summer. This is the best season ever. I love the fall, everything from warm drinks to great meals to putting on good hoodies, the breath of fresh air that you can go out and get. And, oh, yes, every single matchup and every single sport, including the fall classic, is all on Sleep. And we are here to talk about it here at the Cookout. I'm feeling some type of way.
I'm feeling good too, brother, man. Listen, I love the fall. It's my favorite season. We got baseball on tap. My Yankees not doing too great today, but, I mean, been playing some good baseball, a lot of good baseball going on. So we'll get to that really quickly and then get into the other news and notes of the day or the week. Also got our other host in here with the most, host of the NFL Free-for-All, our good friend, our contributor, our chef, Sirius from the 703 Sirius. What's going on, brother?
You know, fellas, man, it's such a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you on time today. Thank God it's good, man. Yeah, real talk. Real talk, man. Shout out to everybody who's been, you know, rocking with us, downloading the shows and listening to the shows, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this evening. I ain't going to waste anybody's time with a bunch of soliloquies and one-word answers, man. Let's get to work, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, I always got to do this, but shout out to Caviar, who always laced our intro music for the Sports City Chefs. I always feel like I might be a little down, but once I hear that beat come in and then Caviar hit spitting them bars, I feel like I got that extra bit of energy. So I don't know about you guys. I'm ready to rock. So I want to get into some, you know, appetizers before we get into some main courses. Obviously, this is the last week in the regular season for baseball, for MLB. Mercifully for some teams like the Mets and like the Orioles and all those other bums, but then you got some teams coming down the stretch. You know, you got the Cardinals who, you know, in the midst of a 17-game winning streak who before September started were left for dead, weren't going to be a factor, and now they're one of the hottest. They are the hottest team in baseball. Paul Goldschmidt is playing some terrific baseball. That veteran pitching rotation, they've locked a second wild card to face the Dodgers. In the American League, it's all about the AL East. You got the Yankees, you got the Red Sox right behind them, you got the Blue Jays, who are beating the Yankees right now, who are, I think, two games behind the final wild card spot. And then you got some teams like the Mariners, and you got the A's hanging around. So, I mean, the AL is pretty much set. I think the Braves and the Phillies are two teams that are fighting for the AL, NL East, NL East, but in the AL, still a lot to be determined. TP, I'll come to you. I mean, listen, it's all about really the AL East. I mean, we can be fair. We can sprinkle in the AL West teams after the Houston Astros. But, I mean, out of those three teams, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays, what team is on the outside looking in once Sunday? I think Sunday at 7 o'clock is when the carriage turns to the pumpkin and the season's over and there's nothing left to be determined. Which one of those teams aren't getting into the playoffs?
I mean, it is really tough to determine right now. But you know what I like, Sports City, and I have to do this because I've known this guy for, like 25 or better. It's probably more than 25 years of my life.
More
and he's
that,
always
yeah.
had to up the talk. Hold on. I don't get into your soliloquies. Every time you say something, I'll let you do what you need to do, you know? So let me talk. I got to talk. I got to tell him how I feel. I got to talk about this division as I see it, you know? So it's crazy because you got Barry and he do his thing. And of course, they're in an interesting game. So it's not over, people. It's not over because you know that these dudes know how to pull it off somehow, some way. But they are two games ahead of Boston. Being the Yankees, they do have the edge. They're three games ahead of Toronto. Toronto probably could try and make this interesting. I doubt it, though. It's 157. There's five games left. If the Yankees start losing, this will be interesting. Right now, I think Boston is on the outside looking in as of now because that two-game gap is heavy and hard to try to make up ground. But if the Yankees lose three or four out of these games, I mean, it's anybody's situation, but I feel like the Yankees are pretty much primed to get to the postseason and make something happen as an underdog and not the division winner. But like I said previously, people, he needs to be thanking the Minnesota Twins. That's right. He needs to do that. Like this is when they call the villain and he always doing bad stuff to me. And y'all see how he do me. You know, even when I started trying to get my spiel and he wants to cut me off because we were actually helping him take care of business with the Blue Jays, winning some games there. I think we pulled one off in Boston also, too. So, like, we actually try to get some of this work done for the Yankees. So they need to pay a little homage to us trying to help them out as things progress. But, again, I think the Yankees probably can actually get into this postseason as the fourth team as we're looking at the wild card. I wouldn't expect this situation the way that offense is lit up, but they finally got their pitching to go alongside with the offense right now. So, Tampa Bay has been playing phenomenal, best team in the American League right now. And I don't think I see the Yankees losing three or four games to let this door kind of stay open for these other teams to catch up to them. If they do, this would be catastrophic. And I wouldn't be able to look at Cashman being to blame. As much as every year, if the Yankees do fall short, you know who they look to first, they go to Cashman. Oh, why don't they have pitching or what's this, that, and the third? It's like, no, they cannot continue to just keep going to the well and just pointing fingers at Brian Cashman. It's the players that are out there on the field that should be able to win games with a strong offense every single year, I want to say since the mid to early 90s. Like, they've always been a presence. You had to worry about slowing that offense down, and it's tough to figure them out. So this can't be the year where if they do fall short, they keep looking at Cashman. So they need to get it together. They picked up some good pitchers. Some of the pitchers that they brought in didn't play as people thought they would, but I think the Yankees do hang on to this. I think the Boston are the team out.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are getting healthy at the right time, especially with the pitching staff and getting Loaisiga back. Talon came back and pitched, a couple pitches and then re-aggravated his ankle injury. But, you know, Severino's back. It's good to see him. They got Kluber back, so I do like the Yankees' chances. Sirius, I don't know if you're following much. I'll come to you really quickly. I mean, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mariners, and the Blue Jays, and I'll put the Athletics, they're 3.5 back, but it's a long shot for them. Which one of these teams are the odd teams out for that those two wild card spots?
Wow. I mean, it's crazy when you stop to think about it, you know. I'm a disgruntled, battered Yankee fan. Okay, I'm disgruntled and I'm battered because so many times we have had the right chemistry, and yet we somehow never get it done, you know, whether it's, you know, get to the postseason or, you know, what happens when we get to the postseason. We always kind of, you know, let one loose and it goes down our leg, and we are sitting there left wondering, like, how in the world did this particular thing happen? But, you know, to get to the postseason, I think we find a way to get there, and then let the chips fall where they may. For me, it's going to come down to pitching, like we always alluded to. And I kind of disagree with Thomas on the simple fact that if this team doesn't get it done, who else are we to look to other than Cashman? You know, I understand that the players play, and, you know, they did what they needed to do to kind of surround the team with hitters and bats. I mean, honestly, who the heck do you pitch to? You really can't afford to pitch to anybody in this lineup. Because at any given time, they can erupt. And I think the ball that Stanton hit yesterday is still in orbit right now. However, with that being said, it's a toss-up for me. I think Boston may find themselves on the outskirts. You know, for me, I don't want to keep Tampa Bay. I mean, this is a team that, in my opinion, always gives, you know, the Yankees fits. They're playing decent ball as of late. Vlad is that dude, in my opinion, should be the AL MVP. But it's going to be crazy, man, coming down the stretch. I'm going to be kind of sitting on my hands, kind of watching that as one of the Steeler games on Sunday, trying to find out how this whole thing unfolds and get ready for October baseball, which we all can't wait to talk about.
Yeah, October baseball. I mean, when the Yankees are on, man, I'm up, and I'm not going to sleep. I don't care how late it is. I can't. I have to watch the whole game, and I probably won't sleep very well if they lose. So, to your point, man, the last two series for the Yankees are tough because you're right. The Blue Jays play them tough, and the Rays play them even tougher. So, if they get in, they're going to earn it. And I think the best thing is to play the best teams in their division, because to have the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Rays, because it's simulating playoff baseball that they need to kind of get themselves going. I felt like they were a little flat heading into September. They kind of picked it up a little bit. Competition will bring the best out in you. So hopefully that I think the Blue Jays are the odd team out, to be honest with you, even though I think the Red Sox are not playing really good baseball at all right now, especially getting swept at home. I think having the two Washington area Baltimore teams, I mean, that's a recipe for they got to win some. I mean, even though they lost last night, they got to win some of those games and make it interesting. So I think with the Blue Jays, I think they're up against it. They're up against a tough schedule too. So that's kind of my take on it. But we'll switch gears. We got plenty of baseball to talk about tomorrow on the Baseball Buffet. We'll be filling in for Dave, who's traveling, but Nate will be there, and I'm pretty sure myself and maybe TP Timeless, the Timeless Wonder, will be there talking some baseball, because I really love talking baseball. But let's get some basketball talk. And then we'll finish off with some NFL hits there. So, and the NBA is about to get started. They had their their media sessions. You know, the Lakers introducing their new players, Russell Westbrook coming out and saying, you know, my job is to push AD every night. So that's going to be an interesting situation. Ben Simmons not showing up for the media day. And Doc Rivers basically getting a little testy when asked about it, when pressed about it. And then, you know, basically looking in Brooklyn, the obvious, you know, elephant in the room, Kyrie Irving, not there. And he's unvaccinated. New York and San Francisco have the rules that you can't be in indoor places without being vaccinated. You know, those are kind of three of the kind of big headlines that came out of media day for the NBA. So, Sirius, I'll start with you. If anything that you've seen, we'll kind of go jump around, anything you want to kind of talk about, but anything that stood out to you from the media day interviews that you might have seen, maybe it has to do with your team, the Rockets, or maybe it's those stories that I alluded to with Westbrook you know, LeBron coming out and saying he's vaccinated, doing what he thought was best for himself and his family, and Kyrie Irving not being vaccinated. I mean, what stood out to you?
You know, honestly, again, we're close to 2 years into this whole COVID-19 thing, and for me, it's going to be a factor throughout the season. You know, Bradley Beal, you know, mm-hmm. hasn't been vaccinated, and he actually can't physically be vaccinated because he has, he's not over his 50-day, you know, probationary thing from the Olympics because he caught the COVID and couldn't go over to the Olympics and everything like that. So no matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it, you know, COVID-19 is going to raise its ugly head and going to be a factor. You know, when you start to look at, you know, Kyrie and others, you know, Andrew Wiggins and those, you know, requesting waivers and things of that nature, California has a very strict, you know, vaccine policy like New York does. So Andrew Wiggins plays in Golden State still. So I'm not too sure how or what's going to happen as far as that's concerned, you know, teams traveling in and out of the stadiums and out of that. So this whole thing is going to really, you know, be an issue. And then obviously this whole Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons fiasco. I mean, I understand why Doc Rivers is mad, but I don't understand why Doc Rivers is mad. Because, again, mm-hmm. I said this last week, and I'm going to continue to beat the drum. When you guys have the opportunity to lower your stance and move this disgruntled player out of your organization prior to getting to this point, you wanted to play big ball and hard ball, and now you were stuck with your pants down. You know what I'm saying? So be prepared, Dr. Rosario Morey, Joel Embiid and company, to answer Ben Simmons' questions until he moves. He's going to be a constant distraction. You're going to be a constant distraction to your team's organization until he is moved. Yep. And ultimately, Ben Simmons wins. I mean, he's highly paid. You can fine him all you want. He's paid. So take the fine. So do whatever he has to do until you guys move him. You did this to yourself. So that along with a couple other things, you know, what I was, you know, looking at as the season gets ready to get kicked off and training camp opens. And, you know, again, like TP alluded to when it's open, man, this is a great time to be a sports fan. You got NFL right here, you know, baseball coming in the final stretch, NBA preseason and training camp kicks off, man. It's a fun time to be a sports fan, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're totally right. I mean, that's what, and to allude to, that's what Ben Simmons wants. He wants that question to be asked every day while he's not there to kind of move the needle and get him traded. You know, he's come off pretty bad looking on this whole situation. And, you know, at this point, you just, like, who cares? Like, I'll be fine at home until you trade me. TP, I mean, there's a lot of headlines going on with the NBA as the media day kind of kicked off the last few days. LeBron James with, you know, talking about him being vaccinated, like Kyrie not being vaccinated, Andrew Wiggins also as well not being vaccinated. The whole interesting kind of subplot with players like Bradley Beal can come into New York and play, but if you live in New York, you can't play if you're not vaccinated, which is kind of really idiotic to me. But, I mean, what kind of stood out from you for media day the first couple of days in the NBA?
Just to see the season amongst us and seeing all of the new faces, new places, situations, and seeing some of the, I really want to say, like, practice or the shoot around, things like that. And I seen a picture of, like, LeBron and Russ sitting next to each other. Well, not sitting, but they were on the floor together and, like practicing together. Like, they, like, you know, head-to-head, like, talking about a play or whatever. And it's, like, never thinking in a million years from, like, the 2012 run and the finals till now to see these two on the same team. So it's pretty interesting to see how the Lakers are really stacked up, and if they can stay healthy, it's going to be something to watch. Even as much as I don't like the Lakers, having to deal with so many different Laker fans, it's going to be interesting to see them play ball if they can stay healthy. It's up to Frank Vogel to hold it together. the Kyrie Irving situation, the Andrew Wiggins situation. Both of these guys are basically, we're waiting to see how this pans out after Ramadan due to the religion, religious belief or their faith, however we look at this scenario, who will end up, you know, basically taking the shot so they can play basketball, because both the state of California and the state of New York are not playing any games with these guys, no exceptions to the rule. So I'm wondering if these teams end up trading these guys or they end up retiring at their ages right now. So it's interesting to see that. And also, I mean, isn't it, I mean, people with the last name Simmons, man, it's just unfortunate. The Sports City, we have to deal with this on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis, you know. So this is what we deal with, you know. Like, I have to put up with it on a week-by-week basis. People tell me they hate my guts coming fresh out of church, and I got to work with them. So, like, you know, you got Joel Embiid, and he's saying, you know what, I'm trying to talk him back into the organization, and Doc Rivers don't know which way to go with the scenario. So I get it. I have to work with a Simmons here myself, so it's like the circle of life. I got to be Mufasa or Simba, and you got people like Pumbaa out here, you know, clearing out the savannah. But no, like I didn't break up your stuff. Stop. So hold on. So Ben Simmons, I don't know what happens, man. I really want him to just like at least try to play the beginning of the season so he can get traded. So people could be like, okay, let's make this happen. Don't sit up here and be like, oh, I'm not going to play. Then don't play. Now you got a bigger issue in Philadelphia. They may start losing games. Everybody's like, Ben should be here. Then Embiid, you know, he's one of the class clowns in front of a camera and tweets. And he's one of the more social media savvy guys in the league. So I can just imagine how this turns into a boulder rolling down a hill. And it shouldn't be that way for Philadelphia, especially with them being the number one team last year in the East. And I don't think that they'll be that this year with or without Simmons. Like, with everybody being healthy, I think, like, a lot of people are going to have a chip on their shoulder to not only try to get them out of there, but also to try to eclipse what Milwaukee did this past season. I mean, where that season just came right back around to us. So I feel like there's bigger fish to fry, even though that this is a lingering situation that we have to figure out another Simmons in life. But, Ben, I'm hoping that you go out there and play, regardless of how I feel about – your offensive prowess. I feel like you're a good player, but you could be better or awesome if you would just shoot the ball in a game, like if you shoot the ball in practice and things like that. And you set the team back by doing that, regardless of how anybody looks at that scenario, that was you. And I guess you're trying to dodge the light and go to another team where there's more people to take the light from you, and you're supposed to be one of the league's best. There's no way that you need to hide. So hopefully they get that out of the way. But there's a ton of stories, and one team that I'm really worried about, but looking forward to see on how they bounce back from the season of last year, is the Denver Nuggets. For Jokic to get an MVP and all of the injuries that lingered, especially with Jamal Murray, I want to see them get back out there and try to be a contender in the West. I just don't think that any team in the West can stop or slow down the Lakers the way that they are constructed. But at least the way that the Nuggets are constructed, I feel like they can make it a fight.
They got a big three, TP, to your point. I mean, Jokic, Jamal Murray, and now that, you know, they inked Porter to a big contract extension. I mean, Jokic, was the MVP of the regular season, but didn't really have that much of an effect in the playoffs. I mean, DeAndre Ayton bullied them around. So it'd be interesting to see if Denver can really take that next step, to your point. I got a call in queue I want to bring in and get his opinion on the NBA the first week. Calling out of the 615, we got Mike Harvey, one of our chefs. Mike, what's going on, brother? If you're there, you're on mute. I do it all the time. Okay. Mike, if you're there, call back in. I kind of agree with your take on Simmons and you know, my feelings. I just really think, like, he's ducking and hiding. I really feel like he's a guy that it doesn't want that. He doesn't want the challenge. He just wants it easy. He wants to take the easy way out. I mean, he could stay in Philadelphia, and you know, like, your former Georgetown guy, I said it on my blog too, Allen Iverson never won a championship there, but he's beloved because he's got more heart. I never liked him in Georgetown. I was, because I'm a UConn guy, but he won me over as a pro in Philadelphia because of his heart. And if you show that, Philadelphia will embrace you. Ben Simmons is just wants to run and hide, and now it's coming out that the Sixers are trying to move him to the West Coast and get him as far away from Philadelphia as humanly possible. So we'll see how that works out. But listen, the vaccination is the big elephant in the room, and I'm just really tired of these players saying, you know, respect my privacy and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, listen, there's nothing private about what you're doing. You're out in public. You're playing a game for the public. You're around people that are vaccinated. Players are not vaccinated by choice, but, I mean, the coaches, the staff, people working in the concessions, everybody in the building is vaccinated. It's not a private thing. You know, the pandemic's not private. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is affected. Just come out and say, I'm not vaccinated, and deal with that. You know, if you're not vaccinated, come out and say it, and then you know what? You can't play 41 games at home. And that's it. And then, you know, the games in the Garden, and then the games in Golden State, more than half the season. You know what? That's your burden. That's what you got to deal with. I mean, I don't understand. It's my privacy and respect. I mean, enough with that, man. You've had time to do the research. You had time to do the homework. I mean, it's been, like, seriously, it's been almost 2 years. I mean, what other research? I mean, everybody's a researcher now. Everybody's a doctor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, you know, at this point, man, like, either you're going to get it or you're not going to get it. And if you're not going to get it, say that. And let's move on. Like, we don't need this question mark. I'm telling you, if Kyrie wasn't KD's boy, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be in a Nets uniform. But, I mean, that's a whole different issue.
That's a funny thing about this, man. Yeah. A funny thing, like, if they say they don't want to get it, you know, here is the consequences for not getting it. If they say, you know, if you go get it, this is what you're allowed to do. I don't understand why the rules and the regulations are what they are. You know, whether you just choose to get it or not, that's fine. But I can't show up to work tomorrow wearing anything I want. I have a guideline, and I have things that I have to do to keep my job and to do what I get paid
right.
to do. And the same
right.
thing applies, in my opinion, with this COVID vaccine situation. You know, you could choose not to get it. That is your right.
Right.
I don't agree with it, but hey, that you can choose not to get it. But because of your choice, these consequences now come into play. But you can't get mad at the consequences of your own choice. You feel me?
Right.
And a lot of times what's happening with, you know, these players, and I'm not going to get on a political thing, but with these players and these other situations is, this is the rule. You chose another direction, but get upset when you don't get the freedoms and the liberties or whatever the case may be of somebody who followed the direction.
I totally agree. Like, I totally agree. It's like you want to stand on the soapbox and try to say it's infringing on your rights and all that. That's on you, but you're going to have to deal with that consequence. New York is trying to the city of New York and the city of San Francisco are trying to get rid of this pandemic the best way they know how, right? Because they've seen a spike in it. So you can't be indoors. All right, fine. You don't want to get the vaccine and be able to be indoors. Then you know what the consequence should be? You don't get to play at home, and guess what? You don't get that paycheck. If I don't go to work, if I'm not able to work, I don't get paid. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, listen, I could be here all day on this, TP. I don't know if you have an opinion, if you want to close on that. But at the end of the day, I think LeBron coming out and saying that he did his research and thought it was in the best interest of his family to do it is all you need to know. Because LeBron is the guy, you know, for social justice and all the political issues, he says what a lot of guys when we were growing up weren't able to say. He can say it now because he has that player empowerment. So he's come out and said, listen, I did it. And not saying you have to do it, but I did it. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, TP, if you got something to add to it or if you want to, you know, sprinkle something else from the NBA that you saw over the last couple of days.
I don't want it to be a situation where we – downplay this guy's mindset, because people
mm-hmm.
that I know people that have gotten a vaccination and have actually passed away. Or there's people that
okay.
are of the higher the higher-up situation that have not taken the vaccination and they're not getting pressed. So he's probably done his own research, too. It's not all forced him to just get the vaccination so he can go out there and play. I understand that there's a ton of millions of dollars out there on the table for both of these guys, but Kyrie is always the one that we're always looking at. He always seems to be the story, but this one is valid. Because this is his body and his life. Like, if something there happened to him, he takes the shot, and then he's more prone to get it, and he ends up passing away. I just spoke to a young lady earlier today that said she lost her mom, and this was after she got the vaccination. So it's not all 100% purity. I guess it's more or less a situation of the antibody fighting it off, and you're better prone for the situation to fight it off. So I can't go against his judgment. It is his body. But then again, it is his livelihood at the end of the day, and I don't know if he's ready to retire at the age of 31, 32 years old. So I don't really hold too much against Kyrie. The one thing about me is like it's continuing to be a thing, like year after year where these teams or players need you, it's something that goes on. And even in the series against Boston when you stepped on Lucky's face, it was like karma came back around. You got hurt and it set the team back. And I would say that that situation happened, but it's unfortunate that things like that always seem to come around for Kyrie Irving. It's just weird how it seems to come back to him one way or another. Or they're trying to look to trade you to another team. So then what? When you play the Knicks, if you're in the Eastern Conference, it's two games, and then you play the Nets two games, and then you play the Lakers, it's a game. It's the Kings, it's a game. It's the
not California. It's not California. It's just San Francisco.
So it's just the Bay Area?
Yeah, it's just San Francisco and in New York City. That's it.
Okay. So then that game, and it depends on where he goes in either conference. I don't want this to be I don't want this to be a situation where he's lingering, moving from team to team, just trying to fit in to play basketball to like rally up his career, because he's still a dynamic point guard. I still feel like he's a top five. I had a discussion with somebody, said he's not a top five point guard in the league. I was like, I argued it tooth and nail, especially after having a 50-40-90 season. You can't take too much away from Kyrie. This guy is a monster. So one way or another, I hope he gets this figured out. I'm hoping he's able to play. But again, it's his body. It's his temple. I can't hold too much against him on his decision that he's making. But just thinking about Bill Gates being one of the guys that actually – like pushed everything about the pandemic, the COVID-19, and the vaccination, and none of his kids are vaccinated, but he is. So you tell me, you be the judge, and this is the billionaire and his family.
Right. I mean, and I'll end it on this because you bring up a great point, TP, and I respect your opinion, and I feel like there's more people that have been saved by the vaccine than have died from the vaccine. I can't, you know, I don't know the people personally. I'm vaccinated. I got the shot. My wife got the shot. I got my parents to get the shot. We're all fine, right? The science behind it is to your point, get the antibodies to build up so that you can. You're still going to get COVID. So I think that's the big part. You're still going to get COVID, but I think the effects aren't as bad if you get it with the shots and as opposed to not getting it. So I mean, there's a whole science behind that. But this is the guy when Wade went into the bubble and when he wasn't allowed to be on the bench. He told everybody, pack up, don't play. But he was going to be right there. So, I mean, he flip-flopped so much, and he just – I know he's not going to get the shot. There's no way he's going to get it. If you know anything about him, you know he's not going to get it. And I don't think he's a bad person. I really don't. But it's just he always finds himself in these situations because he always puts himself in these situations. And, I mean, if you had just came out and said, I'm not going to get the shot, then that's one thing. But it's just now we have to keep talking about it because it's like, well, we don't know if he doesn't have the shot, but we're pretty much sure he does. You know, it's like, oh, God, it's so exhausting with him. You know, I just hope he does what is right for him and his teammates. I think that's the big thing. Like, your teammates are the ones that have to answer the questions. You're at home doing a teleconference telling people respect your privacy. So that's what bothers me about it. But I'll move on from that. It's always a healthy discussion. We can go on for days and days on it. So call in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 25 minutes or so, talking a little NBA, talking some baseball, and let's get into some football. So really quickly, a couple signings happened over the last couple of days. Richard Sherman is going to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after Tom Brady made the SOS call. after the Rams game. It looks like Josh Gordon is reinstated and is going to be a Chief, right, Sirius? A Kansas City Chief. So Josh Gordon, so after he's been reinstated, back in the league for, I think, the fourth time. I can't even keep count right now, but, you know, a dynamic football player really is, but, you know, I hope he gets his life together and gets up, you know, is in a good space. We've been saying that a lot, but I really root for the guy. He's going to sign a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, Sirius, just talk briefly about those two signings. Which one will have a bigger impact, Sherman in Tampa Bay or Josh Gordon in Kansas City?
I mean, obviously, for me, it's going to be Richard Sherman in Tampa Bay for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, he plays defense. And the biggest glaring weakness on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now is their defensive secondary. So I think that him going there, immediate plug-and-play type of guy. I wouldn't be shocked if he's in uniform and playing ball this Sunday up in Foxborough, because he's that much of a dynamic player. He's a quick study, and he'll be able to help them out immensely. My situation with Josh Gordon, I liken him to the Le'Veon Bell situation in Baltimore. I mean, you bring him in to have a body, but it really doesn't help team at all, because the biggest issue for me with the Kansas City Chiefs is their inability to play defense at all. He's not making no tackle. He's not defending nobody, thus making the Kansas City Chiefs just add another potential weapon. We don't know what type of shape he's in. The last time Josh Gordon was relevant was 2013. We are sitting here currently on the brink of 2022. And yet we are still talking about Josh Gordon being reinstated into the league. I'm all for second chances, third chances. I'm all for helping a man or a woman, for that matter, find a way to make a livelihood for his or her family and this, that, and the third. But ultimately, for me, I'm not wasting too much time worrying about Josh Gordon. I'm not going out to the waiver wire and fantasy and blowing any type of fab money or picking him up. Because for me, it's a body. It's just a body. You know, I think even if he makes the 53-man roster, I think he may end the season with maybe 20 catches and maybe 200-some-odd yards, if that. You know what I'm saying? The Kansas City Chiefs have a glaring issue on the other side of the ball, and yet you go in and bring in a guy who doesn't help you there. You just got boat raced. You should be 0-3 right now. You just got boat raced in your own building by a division opponent, and yet you go pick up another wide receiver. You know, your biggest defense right now is trying to outscore people, and yet, quite frankly, my guys, that's not helping you. So to answer the question, again, I kind of ran on it because, I mean, I've been stewing it for a minute. But the biggest sign for me was Richard Sherman, you know what I'm saying? And while I'm on it, Martavis Bryant, stay your happy tail somewhere, man. Don't try it. Don't try it.
I knew you were going to go there.
He's applying for reinstatement too, man. Lord, stay going somewhere, man.
Oh, Lord. I mean, listen, you know, everybody got to eat, man. You got to eat to live. So hopefully he gets to get TV. I mean, those two signings just coming off the last couple of days. I mean, which one do you think will have an impact? Or if you want to just break down both signings, let me know how you feel about Josh Gordon headed to Kansas City and Richard Sherman heading to Tampa Bay. The rich get richer. Or Richard.
This is the problem that I have with the Simmons family members. Like shout out to, you know, Leah and them, because I love them, like, with all my heart. But, like, they got a brother, man, and I just don't know how to deal with this dude. But I think the more impactful situation would be Josh Gordon. The one thing that they need to do is have somebody track him as best as possible. I know he's a grown man and he could do what he needs to do, but just keep him away from that substance that he continues to, like, falter to. He's been in and out of, you know, different rehabs and scenarios, and hopefully he could kick it. This is almost the same situation that I feel toward Ricky Williams, where Ricky Williams is trying to quit just to go smoke. And Ricky went, he flew all the way to India to give up, left all his electronics and everything back home. Nobody could find him. But the federal agents in the NFL found him in a TP sitting in India like, oh, yeah, you think you done? No, no, come on, because you got a contract to deal with. So I understand, like, that's a heavy situation. It's not like it's heroin or the other stuff. But, like, I understand that he has an addiction, but hopefully he can kick it. He's probably the third or fourth option on a track meet. like he could be the third leg or the second leg, however it is. But it's Tyreek, it's him, it's Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, and Robinson. Like, this is a core that, man, as soon as Mahomes says hike, that's like a gun going off, and these dudes are taking off. Like, he could, and Sirius had 20 catches. I like, growled my eyebrows, like, what? Like, in the next 14 games or 13 games, he could only get, like, a catch and a half? Like, heck no. I think he could definitely put up, like, at least 40 or better on this season if he can pick up the offense as best as possible. I know that Andy Reid will be trying to use him as best as ever to fit into this scenario. If Josh Gordon don't fit, then, hey, this is a season that, you know, he could work with, and, you know, hopefully another team could use him. But this is definitely dynamic for the Chiefs, especially while they're struggling. They're the worst team in the AFC West right now. I repeat, the Kansas City Chiefs are the worst team in the AFC West right now. So they definitely have a chip on their shoulder. To add somebody to their roster right now is dynamic to make them make another push to try to get back to rewrite the ship, because Denver's 3-0. The Vegas Raiders are 3-0. And the Chargers are 2-1. Guess who's 1-2? The team that just put another track star out there. So this is going to be dynamic. Now, Tampa Bay, they needed a cornerback because all of their corners are getting hurt. And after Bunting had got hurt in that game up against Dallas, they started attacking that side of the field, and that made it a game. Sherman's situation, I'm not too thrilled with him coming back to football, especially with the things that are lingering outside of the lines. And when he was in San Francisco, he looked slow. Not like, oh, he slowed down. No, he looked slow. Like, they were attacking his feet, and he was falling all over the place because he couldn't keep up with the speed of the NFL today. So if you're telling me the dynamic of the back end for the Tampa Bay secondary is for them to run the zone or keep him in man on one side of the field, I'm puzzled on how he helps them. We'll have to see, because he's missed so much time, and these guys are already three games, four games into the season, let alone the preseason games that they played. So Sherman's missed a bunch of time before he could go out there. So hopefully I want to see what they do, if they put him at safety so he can learn coverages, and then put him at corner so he can get his feet back underneath them and then see how dynamic they are moving down the road. I don't know if he'll be out there for the Patriot game, but I know I would love to see him out there just because they need everything as best as possible to go up against Belichick, just because Belichick has probably one of the top three or five defenses in the league. Everything is swirling around Mac Jones. If he can come out here and knock off the guy that used to run every last nick and cranny in Gillette Stadium. So this game is so big, and it's unfortunate that the lights are set so bright for a guy like Mac Jones. But I think Sherman probably sits out this week and comes back next week and try to be a part of a dynamic defense itself in Tampa Bay. But I clearly look at Josh Gordon being the bigger piece to a track meet in Missouri than we're looking at in the Tampa Bay region of Florida with Richard Sherman.
I mean, I really wish that Kansas City, because when you said that, I mean, I saw the record and it didn't click in my head until you just said it out loud. Kansas City is the worst team in the AFC West right now. Right now. I mean, I don't think that'll stay that way, but right now, as it stands, they are. They're two games behind, two games behind the Denver Broncos, who are 3-0 against terrible teams. But, I mean, 3-0, 3-0, you don't apologize.
The Raiders are 3-0, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Broncos, you know, that's what I'm saying. The Broncos are 3-0. You don't apologize for being 3-0. And the Raiders are playing actually pretty good football right now. You know, I don't know. I think the Raiders are better than the Broncos, but still surprised at both teams that they're winning. So, honestly, I'm looking at this team, and I'm looking at they need defense. Kansas City needs help on the defensive end. And, you know, I wish that they had got Sherman instead. But, you know, listen, Gordon, I don't know how much of an impact he'll have just because they have a lot of weapons. It might be hard to find him touches and work him into the offense. That might be a problem, but the offense isn't the problem. I think the problem on the offense, we talked about it last night on the NFL free-for-all, is that, you know, Mahomes is trying to do too much. And, you know, he just keep it simple. It would help them. I mean, just keep it simple out there. But I'm looking at that defensive side as a real big problem. I was not happy with their defense after week one, and it's continued into 3 weeks. So we'll see how that works out. At Tampa Bay, Richard Sherman, I kind of agree. I don't know how much he helps. I think he does help a little bit. I think he is a step slower, but he's still a smart defender that I think if they use him right, I think he can they can get something out of him in that defensive secondary. So it'll be interesting to see how they work him into this into their situation, especially with losing the safety for the year, Verrett. So, you alluded to it. Let's talk about it. Brady back home. In New England, a lot of stories coming out with Tom Brady and Belichick, how Belichick kind of treated Tom towards the end of his run in New England, and basically Tom wanting out. There was a story, I think it's a book that's coming out, that basically said Belichick didn't even call Tom Brady at the end to try to get him to stay. I don't think they even spoke much. The situation, the relationship really deteriorated between the two over the last couple of years, even though they were winning Super Bowls on and off every other year. TP, I'll come right back to you. Brady comes back home to New England. I'm pretty sure he'll get a warm welcome, but, I mean, who's getting the better of this game? I mean, the storylines, and basically, do you think that situation at the end is a bad reflection on Tom or a bad reflection on Bill? Just break it down for me, brother.
This is tough because I don't like to, like, go after Belichick because I respect him as being the greatest coach of all time. But I feel like a lot of coaches have a good rapport with the legends or the greats of their team. And the way that this went down, he was trying to keep the system going as he seen fit for the team. So the bad scenario that I look at it is like he didn't want to see Brady retire as a Patriot. And I'm like, why wouldn't you try to see him leave the door as best as he could? Like, all of the legend that we've seen that put up that much attention to detail for a championship-caliber sport play. Like, Bill Russell put up 11 in Boston. Michael Jordan put up 6 in Chicago. What, Yogi Berra put up, what, I think 9 in New York. Like, just knowing the number
A
lot of these people put up with their teams, and you're going to watch Brady put up 6 and say, you know what? I wanted to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo in the first place. Get rid of him and keep Jimmy. Like, what? Like, I get it. Jimmy's the next best thing. But let Jimmy sit back here and collect as many rings as Tom got left in him. Like, keep kicking the machine. Like, keep kicking the video game machine. And if the tickets keep popping out of him and they championship tickets, well, then you just keep playing this doggone game. We're going to get a big prize at the end of the day. But you sitting up here like, no, I'm reinventing the wheel. I'm a great coach, but I'm not taking away from him, but you would rather watch Brady go somewhere else and be successful 365 days later after leaving your organization. It's puzzling. And already looking at how he's out of the gate, he's 2-1 with an unfortunate loss that they've taken just because I think more or less if Antonio Brown was on the field, I think it would have been a better chance for Tampa Bay to be in that game. But they had to play that game how it was, and they're dealing with injuries on the defensive side of the ball. He's 2-1. They're 1-2 in New England. There's, you know, rumors swirling around if Mac Jones is the guy right now. They're saying that he can't push the ball downfield like they want to. So we're going to have to see him progress to be better in these quarterback scenarios. I must say, I question the thought process of Belichick trying to be the smartest guy in the room, which he is. I can't take that away from him. But sometimes that intelligence may hurt you. Like in this Tom Brady situation coming up Sunday, I think it favors Tampa Bay. I don't know about them covering spread-wise, but I think that Tampa Bay should win the game. But, I mean, that defense could actually make it tough for Brady and make it an interesting one. But I know, I mean, even Gronk is fighting through injury to get back out there. So I know they're going to do everything that they can to have that awkward handshake with Belichick at the end of the game.
You're so right. I mean, you know, trying to be the smartest guy in the room. Like I always tell people, you know, water is the thing that gives you life, right? But too much water will kill you. You know what I'm saying? You could drown, right? I think that's kind of the scenario I've seen with Belichick, man. Like, you know, at least you got a guy that's won you 6 Super Bowls. Have some respect for him. Let him have some input. He wouldn't even let him have input. And I think the biggest highlight is, we said it too, Tom Brady's taken many pay cuts to stay in New England and help the team you let he took a lot of pay cuts being the best quarterback that arguably we ever seen serious, and you don't let him have any input. Like, he's doing everything he can to keep winning, and you're just like, no, it's my way, the Belichick way. It works. You know, like, come on, man, have a little respect. You know, I'm gonna try this one more time. I'm gonna bring in Mike Harvey from the 615. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, man, I'm here. How's it going, guys?
All right, brother, give me a quick. We got 10 minutes left, bro.
I got a couple things based on what you just said. First of all, I feel like even though he didn't handle it the right way, this is kind of also what Aaron Rodgers' unhappiness was about in Green Bay, too. I feel like he didn't have any input. Also, Bogusev just hit his second home run of the night. It is 6-5 losers over Yankees in the bottom of the eighth. So good game.
Thanks
going
for
on.
That, Mike. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Having a good game. Just to help me get some money. So, I don't know. Same Blue Jays team, real quick. Most ever home runs ever by a second baseman in the season. I didn't realize that man, Marcus Semien was 44. That's crazy to me. But yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me up. It's interesting to see that. Real quick on this, I think that Tampa takes care of business and. I mean, it's that nice balance. I think there should be loyalty to a player who's seeing him retire. People say players aren't loyal to the franchises anymore either. Sometimes teams decide it's time to go, you know, that new direction. But I think that as much as he did there, like Tom said, you keep trying to play that ticket until it comes up snake eyes enough time. It hasn't been, so I don't know if that's the right call, right? So I think Tampa wins this weekend, but I think it'll be interesting to see if New England can make a game out of it.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't get booed. I think they still have the training wheels on Mac Jones, which is probably a good thing because they don't have any kind of training wheels in Chicago, and you see how that's working out for Matt Nagy. Serious. I mean, you know, a lot of stories coming out between the Belichick and Brady the last couple of years, everything that's gone on. Brady's dad's been in the media as well. I mean, what do you think about the whole situation and how the bits and pieces of the story are starting to come together and how that relationship deteriorated and ended?
You know, it doesn't come as a shock to me. I mean, basically understanding how both men love to operate and, you know, both men, you know, handle business. I'm gonna keep it all way a buck with you. You know, the fact that Bill Belichick's ego potentially played a significant factor in whether Tom Brady stayed doesn't come as a shock. For those of you guys who don't know, I think all you guys sitting here do know I am a preacher's kid. And so when I was a young little cat, you know, my dad taught me this very, 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 very important scripture found in the book of Proverbs that said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so if you want to equate that to what's going on right now with the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick got very, very prideful. Tom Brady was getting all the accolades and, you know, the only reason why Bill Belichick won is because of Tom. And, you know, after all that builds up over a certain period of time, you now look at the time clock and look at the calendar and be like, you know what, it's only a matter of time before I'm out from under this situation and I could do it my way and prove that I'm the guy, that it was on me. It was my plan. It was my system. It was my thing. And I can take anybody I damn well please, plug them in there, and be successful. We are 2 years into this whole project, and you are not successful. But I will say this. I think Sunday's game is going to be very, very interesting. For those of you guys who, you know, bet the over and under, I'm taking the under here because I do know this. According to what I just heard on my drive home today on Sirius XM Radio, I forgot the name of the person who mentioned it, but I'm going to say it here. When you start to look at how Tom Brady is playing in Tampa Bay, according to the report that I heard, the reporter said that during an interview with Bill Belichick, he said he's actually calling what Tom Brady's doing as he's watching film because the plays and the stylistic situation is oddly similar. So when you start to game plan for this upcoming matchup, I believe that the ultimate chess match between Tom Brady, the quarterback, and Bill Belichick, the defensive mind, the defensive coordinator calling the plays, is going to be on full display here. I understand that, you know, AB was out last week. I understand that, you know, you got, you know, some situations in that, you know, you were frustrated or whatever case it be. But I do know this. Bill Belichick knows defenses, and Bill Belichick coached defenses, and there is nobody outside of Gisele Bündchen on this planet that knows Thomas Edward Brady IV better than Bill Belichick. And so I expect this game to be highly, highly contested. I expect the defensive matchups to be interesting and intricate. I do expect Tampa Bay to win, but at the end of the day, you know, I was on the barbershop today, and I said they should play Boys to Men. You know, it's so hard to say goodbye and kind of get them all emotional. You know what I'm saying? Because if you get this guy ticked off and, you know, frustrated, that's when he tries to go and hang 40 and 50 on your head. But if you got this guy feeling and sentimental, I think TP was in the room with me. TP said something like he should, you know, have I Love You Brady signs, you know, and they should have this video montage and just pull on his heartstrings. You know what I'm saying? Have Miss Kraft come out to hand him something or whatever. Just pull on his heartstrings a little bit to make it very, very emotional and uncomfortable for Tom Brady, all up to the mental mind play. But ultimately, Tampa Bay wins this ball game. But I think, you know, they don't cover. This is the third game this year where Tampa Bay has failed. Again, for those of you guys who bet, this is the third game this year where Tampa Bay has failed the money line. So I don't expect Sunday to be any different.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, I mean, Tom Brady is about 60-some-odd points away from the all-time – not points, yards away from the all-time record passing. You know, he'll pass Drew Brees for the all-time yardage. So there's a lot going on. He'll be home for it, you know, back in New England. His dad will be there and back with Belichick and then, you know, have another record that'll fall. So – you know, it'll be pretty emotional for him, so it'll be interesting to see if he keeps himself in check. So I definitely want to close up the kitchen. Great job as always, boys. I mean, we'll have a lot of fun this weekend talking about the games. We got a lot of shows coming up. So, Sirius, I'll come to you first. Give us a quick close as we wrap it up here in the call is
kitchen.
Yo, it's your boy Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Before I go, definitely check us out on the website, the blog, the merchandise. Check us out on YouTube. We got all kinds of stuff dropping on YouTube. I mentioned them a minute ago, but shout out to the fam over there at Clubhouse, man, the barbershop. I'm in there regularly with a bunch of the cats sitting here, man, talking. We was talking movies in the day, man, so it doesn't even really matter. We don't talk sports all the time. We talk whatever's on people's minds. But I did want to leave you guys with this. This evening, not to toot my own horn or to pump myself up or anything like that, but this evening I was very, very fortunate enough to be a part of an Afghan relief fund or Afghan relief effort. What we did was we literally just packaged up clothes and things of that nature to be a blessing and to give back to those who are less fortunate than us. So coming up in 2 weeks, I'm going to be part of a suicide walk where we're just walking to raise awareness for suicide prevention. My challenge to everybody listening is this. Get outside of your comfort zone. Do something for somebody else. It doesn't have to be, you know, a walk. It doesn't have to be, you know, a relief or whatever the case may be. But put your mask on, go outside, and kind of be a blessing and be, you know, encouraging. And, you know, we are very, very blessed and very, very fortunate here. And sometimes we come across people who are not as fortunate, not as blessed. So look inside yourself. If you got stuff to give away and donate, go ahead and do that and be a blessing to someone else. With that being said, God bless. Catch you guys next time.
Thank you, Sirius. Yeah, suicidal, you know, is always important to me and my wife. So, Mike, listen, thanks for stopping in. We finally got you in. Give us a quick close as we get out of here.
Yeah, man. Sports, hip-hop culture, versus battles, uncomfortable conversations, things in the news that need to be talked about, lots of different things going on, anything from gambling as well, different clubs under our envelope, but the barbershop on Clubhouse, it's, you know, Timeless is, TP is the soul of that place, man, and him and group put it together, have a good moderator squad and a lot of good people that come in and make that community. It's grown really fast, over 2,000 members right now working on the 3K, and some big giveaways and things going on once we get to that point. So continue to follow, you know, Sirius told you everything else about that, and man, to the point, like just what he said about giving back and doing something to benefit others, or do a thing called Meals for the Heartland around here. I try to do that a couple times a year. And so a lot of good things going on, man. And I definitely appreciate you guys allowing me into the kitchen to chop it up with you guys as always. Love and respect to TP, Barry, Sirius, all you guys for letting me be a part of the group.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for coming in, man. Listen, get to the website. You got articles. We got blogs coming up. Our Finger Foods is up. We're venting about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the villain venting about the New York Giants. I had to put in a little sad music in the background, so if you get a chance, listen to that. It's getting pretty pathetic out there. Listen, get to the site, get the merchandise. We got a lot of things popping. Sponsors are coming. If you know, hit us up if you want to be a sponsor. Check out the clubhouse. Check out everything we're doing. We got a lot of things popping, and we got some new bloggers out there too. So we got people coming in for the chefs, man. We got people cooking all over. So TP, you know what to do. Get us out of here, brother.
Like they said, SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website. We'll be back at it tomorrow with the baseball buffet. We need everybody as much as possible. Get this show done, handled throughout the week. We got the weekend shows coming around as well, from the tailgate to the brunch coming up Sunday, feeling kind of Sunday. The oldie but goodie, a battle with the Bears and the Lions. I mean, everybody getting ready to try to get their first win out there on the board. I can't wait for it, man. Like I said, the month of September is officially coming to a close very soon. October is amongst us. And, oh, yes, this is just the fall classic, the best season ever. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs. Yeah. Cap. Todd. Woo.
Connecticut.